Hello and welcome to the Grand Blue Fantasy Relink spoiler cast review from Gigaboots. I'm your host, Dan Video Games, and with me is Bob.
Annoying rat sounds.
Chris Wolfhart.
Something something apples.
And Dr. Agro.
Always bet on the bullet.
This time reviewing the new-ish AAA action RPG from...
Cygames.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. It's related to that gotcha game and also that fighting game and also the original version of that fighting game. If you've never watched one of our spoiler casts and reviews before, at the beginning we say a couple sentences doing a mild summary of our thoughts, followed up by a guttural sound to give you an idea of where we're coming in at with this game. Then we'll get into specific anecdotes, criticisms, musings, delightful things to share. And then at the end, we'll give you a full summary of each of our individual thoughts and a score 1 to 10 to get the final score, maximum potential score of 40. So let's get to it. We're going to start with Chris Wolfhart.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink is really great, and I am thankful that it lived up to our expectations of making it our most anticipated game 4 times in a row, I think. Until the most recent year where it was replaced by Judas. But I'm going to give it a ooh.
Bob Video Games.
Grand Blue Relink is a really pretty game with a bunch of cool characters to play as. I'm going to give it a oh.
Dr. Agro.
Relink feels like a game that came from a better timeline with a very different industry trend set. I'm going to give it a oh.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink feels like the reimagining of some parallel game to Trials of Mana on the Super Nintendo, where you have so many playable characters playing through gorgeous environments, but somehow this is absolutely top-notch visually and gameplay-wise. I'm going to give it a wow. And now we'll get into it. This game is so pretty. I am so happy that we have pretty video games with pretty art styles and good graphics.
Yeah, this is probably one of the prettiest games I've ever seen.
It's kind of insane.
And it's at 1080p, and is this pretty?
Right. Yes, this game is pretty. It has a great art style, great art design. It doesn't have the highest numbers on a spreadsheet. The game actually looks good. It was well designed.
So executives don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
They recoil at the very sight of these characters and delightful creatures. I feel so spoiled already this year because I get this and Visions of Mana in a single year. Are you insane?
Yeah, that's a lot.
I really don't ever get cute and pretty and gorgeous. These are very, very important distinctions here. RPGs in a single year. Ever?
Mm-hmm.
Two? What? That's insane. Oh, man. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Some of the set pieces you go through in this game with the ship boarding and all of that, the airships and everything. It's so crazy.
Remember set pieces? Remember when games used to have those instead of pointless open worlds that add fucking nothing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really crazy when it's like, oh, yeah, you make a game of a sane length. You can just have these amazing set pieces and, you know... It is an impressive thing that leaves a mark on your soul, a memory in your brain, instead of the game's 80 hours and it's all tools-derived open-world mush.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the weird thing is, like, it's still strange to my ear to hear people be going, oh, these set pieces are so cool, because I remember the era when set pieces were the crush. Were the crutch. And they were the terrible thing that just happened in the background while you walked down a hallway.
Right, because
these set pieces are good. You play them. They're fun.
Yeah, right, and that's the thing. You play them. It's not a walk and talk while things explode.
Right, and none of them overstay their welcome. Like, you man a gunship to shoot down, like, enemies that are coming at your giant ship. And it ends when it should. Like, you just feel like, okay, I did that part of the game and we can move on. And it felt good.
Yeah, all of them have a really good sense, like a movie with a great editor does, of how long a scene should last.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they have a perfect idea of that. In many other games, the absolutely amazing desert golem set piece would have been enormously longer. the weird gigalith bastard.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been three times as long.
They do have, like, exactly the right idea. They understand exactly how long any of these things should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that, like, that whole boss fight, the fact that I didn't have to do the same thing three times for no reason, three times.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say, too, of, like, it's any other game, you would have done that same thing three times in a row.
Yeah.
And it would not be cool.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, all these other things, they're looking at a number on a spreadsheet, it feels like. And it feels like they've been obsessed in that way for a long time, because they're looking at, like, what's the playtime going to end up at? Because this game could have been longer than it was. All they had to do was just make everything last longer than it should.
Right.
Which I would say this game is pretty lean. It comes in at around or under 20.
Yeah, it probably takes like 15 or so to get through it once.
Yeah, I would like to think it's somewhere between 15 and 18. I actually played through it twice, which, yeah, let's get into that. I played it once on the PS5, and then I played it again on PC. Did everyone else do PS5?
Yes.
Yeah, I did PS5.
I literally only have one disappointment with this game, and it's that they didn't give us an unlocked frame rate on the PS5. That's it.
Yeah.
This game looks gorgeous at 120 frames per second on PC. It is so good. I was also shocked the PC version somehow loads even faster. Because the PS5 version is so fast to begin with.
It is. I really wish it had crossplay.
If you make it auto, you make it auto progress the loading things, it's even faster. It's like, oh, you don't even have to hit the button.
Right, yeah. It barely, on PC, which I'm using an NVMe drive, it fades to the load and fades out almost immediately in a lot of cases. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. Because
it's not slow on the PS5. It's really fast there, too. It's impressive. But yeah, you're right, Bob. It having crossplay really is important, and it should have done that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the largest broad shortcoming of this game, that PC players can't play with PlayStation players. That is why I played through the game again, so I could play with PC people. And I actually know other people who started on PS4 and changed to PC midway through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what I love about this, though. We got to get back to the love, because collecting crabs rules. Deriving power from crabs, fantastic.
Yeah, I wish I had known they'll just give you the crab power. I would have looked for them a little more strenuously.
Right. I actually found that I got the vast majority of them. It's really the desert that's the trip, because it's so enormous.
It is very big.
I enjoy a game that empowers you to make number go up in the way you want, in many different ways. And crab power is the definition of that. It's like, oh, you got all the fun collectible. Become enormously powerful. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I love the, what do they call them? The vignettes that are fates, right?
Yeah, the fate episodes.
Yeah, the fate episodes is such a cool way to, because you have such a huge character roster in this game. All these delightful designs and cool backstories you want to explore. And the fate episodes are like, oh yeah, explore that and get stronger at the same time. I'm like, motherfucker, other video games would wish for one of these things to happen. You're doing both at the same time. My God.
Yeah, I wish that more of those characters got to be in the main story, but at least this is like a little band-aid for that. Because it feels like, okay, the only people actually in the story are the main, like, six, which are good characters. I just wish that we had, like, any of the other ones, like Charlotta, Narmaya, and all them.
Yeah, but luckily the Fate episodes have so much story for them. Like, there's a lot of story there.
There is.
It really does feel sufficient, to me at least. And I played as Siegfried and Charlotta. And, you know, I felt pretty satisfied by what was there, because Charlotta's deranged quest to be like, what if I drank shit to get tall? Like, you're going to just be tricked into drinking poison. What are you doing?
Narmaya's was pretty good, but Zeta's was not satisfying at all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's just some little boy in town hitting on her constantly for 10 episodes in a row. I'm like, okay, this is kind of funny, but I don't know, man. Maybe do anything else.
Maybe it just, like, it was there to expand your horizons, Bob. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah, Bob, it's International Women's Month. You need to be hit on like a woman in a video game so you can appreciate what all women go through, being hit on by some child in town? What?
Yes, some child. I think he's supposed to be like 10 or 11.
This is a fucking Warner Brothers situation, like Yakko over here selling Hello Nurse,
basically.
The cast being so huge and all of them having radically different gameplay styles is so dope.
Yeah, no, that's super unexpected from something like this. It made me think of Sengoku Basara, where each of those had like a very unique play style. But
yeah, but yeah. This is an RPG and fleshed out really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy and basically unprecedented. It feels fantastic that, you know, the two characters I played, ignoring Graham, because of course I played Graham, but... and I also played one other character for a brief stint, but they are so different. Charlotta's just this flailing monster,
yes,
right?
And then flies around.
Siegfried has what is basically the mechanic from, what is the name of the action game on Xbox last year? Hi-Fi Rush.
Oh, yes.
Basically the mechanic for that, but I enjoy it more because it's a fucking great sword.
Yeah, it turns out that mechanic's more fun when it's just timing the hits and not also trying to sync up with the game, like the overall timing of the song.
Yeah, I just really enjoy greatswords a lot. They immensely improve any experience for me, as it turns out. I also love that each weapon had their own upgrade trees that just when you upgrade the weapons through those pips, right? Mm-hmm. You get the 6 or 8 upgrades. Those stats apply to your character, period, even if they're not using that weapon. And I'm like, oh that's good. That's real good.
Yeah, they made an insane amount of ways to upgrade your character in this game.
They sure do make a gotcha where number go up and you feel good.
Yes.
And it's deranged because you want to sit there and you want to, you know, basically have pragmatic thoughts on this and be like, gotchas are kind of manipulative games made by people to milk money out of their players. But then it's like, but they're the exact right people to tune an RPG that feels
yes,
good.
That is very funny. Like, they understand the numbers and how they should work.
Right. So it makes perfect sense. And it does feel great. It feels great that you have these multiple different ways to upgrade your character, these three different trees, and they have all these choices all the way down and the way they scale up and the way they unlock the further depths of it. All feel great. And then you have these proper, I believe they were called runes to equip to your character to also upgrade these individual stats, like become crab strong to take you on.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fucking perfect. Like, it's so fantastic. I think, you know, crossplay is one of the largest disappointment. The not having an unlocked frame rate on PS5 is unfortunate. Sony, I believe, needs an ambassador out there talking about the strengths of variable refresh rate, the importance of higher refresh rates, because maybe it would have happened then.
Yeah, I feel like there's still a possibility they could do it because they are apparently have a long tail for this game.
I really hope that's the case.
And Sony's apparently gonna promote the PS5 Pro as a 120 console, so maybe he's like, hey, let me tell you what you can do.
Is it rated?
Send Mark Cerny out to tell everyone about 120 hertz.
Oh, they better have Mark Cerny.
Man, I'd love to see Mark Cerny so much. I love Mark Cerny.
Yeah, because that's a dude who made a cool thing and he's excited to tell you what is cool about it because he understands, because that was the assignment years ago when he took on the task to do it.
Uh-huh.
Love that shit.
Knack. Dog shit. Knack 2 has Mark Cerny. It is a much better game that no one will ever play because it's called Knack 2.
They hit it in the perfect spot. They could have fit
actually,
the Ark
the director
of the
first one too, but ignore it.
We're going to ignore it. That was dry Mark Cerny who had to make the PS4 and that game at the same time. He got a break in time to make Knack 2. Yeah, it's I wish there was multiplayer going through the normal story, but the way they made the story, I understand why they didn't do it, and it makes perfect sense. You know, instancing those set pieces across multiple players would limit what those set pieces could be.
Right. And it ended up making a very tight, like, you could get through that probably in 12 hours if you really wanted to just beeline it.
I would get through that in 12 hours if I really wanted to beline it. That is what I did.
Right.
And that structure turns this game into modern day's rarest unicorn, a fully fleshed out single player game that also has a kick-ass multiplayer mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's just like, yeah, here's our really impressive fun, beautiful, interesting 15-hour campaign. Here's 100 hours of multiplayer content.
Or more.
Yeah, I know
that we're
people.
Patching, that we're patching more things into.
You know what? I'm going to look up how many hours my friends have in it.
My God. Yeah, no, with Vox on there, I'm sure it's insane.
Yeah, Vox and Riona have definitely dumped some serious hours to that game. Scary amounts of hours into that game. Let's see.
Yeah, I was able to do all of the multiplayer stuff up until, like, proud difficulty, like, when the actual end game story ends.
Yeah.
Without using online help. And then after there, it was, like, basically once the power started requesting for 9,000 or more.
Uh-huh.
It was like, oh, no, this is impossible without other people.
Right. This is a group mission at this point. Yeah, Riona has 278 hours, and Vox has 167.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's really great when you get that exact experience. You got a great single player experience and then a really fun way to grind with your friends and just have a great casual time. It's fantastic. What a beautiful thing they've made here. All these years we put it on Most Anticipated, I expected it to disappoint just because how could they make something as cool as the pitch they gave us all those years ago?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like they landed it. They stuck the landing. That's... What?
Yeah, it's not something you expect in this industry.
In this industry.
Not at all. Brand new dev team making a AAA game.
Brand new dev team that clearly poached another dev team.
Yeah, brand new dev team that may have been like, hey, we can see the company you work for. They're not going to exist 2 years from now, so why don't you come over here?
We're in the same city.
Here, we're in Kyoto as well. Is this a brand new building? What? No. Come on. Anyways, you want to keep making that game you're making for us? Because, you know, that would be smart.
You know, I think it's funny that the director of this was an environmental artist from Platinum, which creates the weird situation where this game has many, many Platinum things in it.
Yes.
But I do not think it has the Platinum game feel.
It doesn't quite feel exactly like a Platinum game, but you do see it in animation work and sort of vibes of structures.
You see it in animations, yeah. And there's dodge offset, but if I touch a Platinum game, I go, that's a fucking Platinum game.
See, that's funny, because I was going to say this doesn't have the Platinum frame rate of just barely not 60 or 30-ish.
Well, to be fair to Platinum, they haven't made a normal game on a real console in 7 years.
But even when they did, it didn't lock 60.
Nier Automata didn't lock 60?
No. For some reason, their games always sit at like 50, 55. Like, it's real weird. Which, based on the PC version of Nier Automata, I think we figured out why that was.
Oh, right, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, the shit's 4 times bigger than it should be, and we can't explain why.
We decimated it, and the frame rate went way up. Oh, wow. Maybe someone at Platinum should be looking at a GPU profiler ever, once in their life, maybe.
Dude, I don't think that can work in Excel.
My spreadsheet doesn't fit the fucking profiler. Damn. Yeah, so it's this weird cryptid of, like, in many ways, it's like a Platinum game, but in so many other ways, it's so much better. And yeah. I don't hate Platinum at all. In fact, I'm still looking forward to playing Astral Chain again on the Switch 2. Which, I don't know. What is Platinum's... I guess Bayonetta 3 is Platinum's most disliked game as of remotely recently, right? Because a lot of people online seemed hypercritical of Bayonetta 3.
Right.
Which I am on a plot side, but right, many and I other think a sides lot of people I'm like, are.
On a gameplay side, it's mostly fine, except for the fact it runs at 45.
Yeah.
Right. Switch 2 to the rescue.
Please.
Please
give that game a chance. It also it's also like 544p. It feels like it's so blurry.
It is very blurry.
It is very blurry, very pixelated. But yeah, I like Platinum, but this just everything it has that isn't distinctly Platinum isn't a bad thing to lose at all.
I feel like there are ways in which it feels like a Platinum game, then and I like that, and ways in which it doesn't, in which I don't like it.
Really? Okay.
Because there are a lot of things with enemy attacks won't have the hitbox that they probably should, because I started doing a lot of stuff was like, okay, if you do a perfect dodge, you get this thing where you go invincible and get a little bit of attack buff.
I've never heard of that before.
So you have that mechanic.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of the attacks, the hitbox, just like you clearly are in it and did the dodge in the right place, but the attack didn't hit you, so you didn't get the perfect dodge power up.
Oh, so you're saying they have too conservative of a hitbox. It's somewhere else than
right.
It should be.
Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of moves that have attacks that have like patterns like that, which are become very annoying to try and dodge and get a perfect dodge on, because there is a huge delay between each dodge you can do, and you have a system like that where it can just, they whiffed.
We played this game first on our insane flop swap stream.
Yes.
So the mechanics got hyper jumbled in my brain, and I think you had to remind me you can block.
Uh-huh.
And even still, like, oh, you can block?
I forgot halfway through the game.
Right.
So did I. That's just how I play action games. It's like, no, because there was such a big string where it's like, why would you be able to block in this action game? You better dodge, bucko.
Yeah, it took me until my second playthrough where I finally glued that thought to my brain of, mm-hmm. You can block, motherfucker. Use it sometimes.
When I started using the block more, I was like, yeah, no, you're fighting way too strong of stuff. If you block like two times in a row, you're going to go dizzy mode and uh-huh. be screwed. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
yeah,
maybe that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah,
that's why I just never did it.
Yeah, I just dodge through everything and go, I got perfect defense. Oh, I got perfect defense. Oh, I got perfect defense.
We haven't really gotten into it. What characters were we using? As I said, you know, the game makes you play Graham. I played someone else. I feel so sad. I can't remember who it was because I had fun with them. It's just then I bought Charlotta.
Uh-huh.
And then on my next playthrough, I played as Siegfried. Bob, who did you play through?
For most of the regular game, I played through as Catalina.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, after the game like ended, I bought Narmaya and played through pretty much the entire post game was her.
Yeah, I actually Narmaya is very cute. I really like her design, and her weapon is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would play her in a fighting game. In an action game, I don't really want to.
I found her way more fun in this than she was in the fighting game.
Really?
Yeah, like, which is weird because I also bought Zeta. Now you level her up a lot. I love playing her in the fighting game, and I don't like playing her at all in this.
It's almost like these are completely different genres.
Uh-huh.
Things are very different between them about what's enjoyable.
It's good to unlock Zeta, though, because she's one of the characters the CPU is broken as because they will do perfect jump loops. There's certain characters that the CPU is just really good at and ones that they are really bad at. Like, the CPU's really bad at Rackham. They basically don't use his mechanics at all.
Huh.
Yeah, I did notice that when I switched to him. Like, I started playing as him and went, why the fuck weren't you doing any of this?
Yeah, why weren't you melting things?
Dude, I gave you a laser. What are you doing? Aggro, who did you play as?
The first character I switched to was Io. Because of my storied mage predilection.
Mm-hmm.
But that it got to be, in certain fights, untenably slow to play. And then I switched over to Rackham, and oh my god, playing as Rackham is so much fun. You see, you shoot the gun,
uh-huh.
and that charges the meter that lets you shoot the gun.
Yeah.
And then when your cooldowns are up, you hit your cooldowns, which lets you shoot the gun better, and then shoot the better gun more.
By the way, I just remembered, Rackham was the person I played, and it was real dope.
And like for the first part of the game, playing as Rackham means that you get to be on the other side of the boss arena and just ignore most of the mechanics.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Then in the back half, boss arenas either get smaller or start involving more mechanics that happen away from the boss. Like when you fight some of the later jobs have like skeleton bosses, skeleton with a big axe, and there's like a dark one and an ice one and a fire one. And he's always like spawning purple orbs that will get near you and then drop three lasers and split into three and blow out really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Love that fight.
Yeah.
But it's Rackham. Like when I really got Rackham sigiled up and I got his guns leveled up, that's when it changed over from the boss's health bar really being more of a timer because we're all just hitting him all the time and it's slowly going down to, I can see when I'm hitting him with my big stuff. Chunk, chunk, chunk.
Yeah, on the topic of ice skeleton kings, Big fan of that. Anytime you're fighting a giant skeleton who has ice powers and is leading an undead army, that's a pretty cool thing to do.
Yes. There are a lot of very cool monsters in this.
Yeah, as it turns out, they have a deep love for, you know, classic fantasy monsters, that, and it pays off in spades.
Oh, while I'm thinking of it, continuing to gush about Rackham, one of the great things about spewing a constant stream of bullets at the boss is when the bosses spawn adds, you can just sort of angle yourself to where they're between you and the boss and not break your rotation at all. And all that hate shoos through the adds, and then they're dead and goes right back at the boss.
That's real good.
I need to level up a Rackham just so I can fight Griffins without worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, fighting Griffins as melee-only characters is kind of annoying.
Yeah, no, I'm looking way over there going, damn, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, no, that was the one thing that made me sad about switching off of Rackham was Griffins just flying overhead. I'm like, you motherfucker.
So the main character I played as, for most, I played Gran a lot because I'm like, you're gonna fucking make me use him at some point. I better at least become familiar.
You're a smart man.
I played Cagliostro a lot. She's really funny. The way that she ends her combos by doing, like, FMA alchemy on people. But you can get a skill that just randomly, it's just bigger and infinitely more devastating.
Yeah, I love all of her battle quotes and her story. Fate missions are really good.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Rackham. And as soon as I got to Chapter Zero, I mostly been playing as Id, because I think Id rules. I think he has a great design, and I also like his character a lot. And I also think it's funny that he's obviously, at least in part, inspired on Nero, and his Skybound art is dead weight.
My God, it is. He's so, like, he's the apotheosis of middle school edgelord cool.
Yes, he
is. And he
is.
Carries it off so effortlessly. Like, this is my Cloud Sephiroth hybrid OC. Like, yes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the juice.
Yeah, he is really cool. I would absolutely use him more if Narmai wasn't also dark type.
it's really funny how a lot of the game I was like, is it Bahamut? But that wouldn't make sense. And then it's like, no, he's a different Bahamut, but he is indeed Bahamut.
Not to be confused.
And then Linkin Park starts playing.
His dragon form is cool, and then you get like the enhanced version of his normal form if you upgrade it enough, and you get a skill that's just like, so if you use this normally, it just turns you into the dragon and gives you a full meter. It has a really long cooldown though. But if you wait until you're in god form to use it, it will refill the god meter bar. So you wait until you're almost out of that one and use it, and you get longer in his super form. His fucking sweeping laser as the dragon is so funny.
It's so good. Oh,
it's
man.
Like, God, when you go dragon mode and then your heavy attacks just become long range projectiles, it's just nuts. He's so good. The game's like, congratulations, you beat the game. Here's your reward.
They did that. It really reminded me of Devil May Cry 2's Super Devil Trigger.
Because he just breaks out the chain guns.
No, that's when he's regular Devil Trigger. Super Devil Trigger, he does this thing where he throws giant energy orbs and they insane damage.
Yeah, God. So you better practice up for your speed run on how to be at one health or whatever. I also was a fan of the music in this. I think it all had a really good vibe to it and a good production quality. It's not like probably not going to make my soundtrack of the year, but it was very solid and matched each moment with a whimsy and sense of adventure that was a delightful companion to take on this journey with me.
I think it's really good, but I feel like they should have popped off a few more times. Like, we have the one vocal song at the very end. I feel like we could have used at least one more of those.
We got to talk about how cool it is to have a battle in the sky standing on stained glass bridges, basically.
Yes.
Like, that is such an amazing visual set piece. It's like, what are you doing next time?
Like, I really liked that the platform you fight the final boss on is fucking diegetic.
Yeah.
It's like, we made it.
Right?
God, and the final boss has the fucking vocal song. If you're game doesn't have a vocal song for your final boss. What are you doing? That's like you spend like what, $100,000 at most, couple hundred grand. That's a point. It's a point on your game score instantly.
No, it's true. It's true. Did you know? I'm not sure if you knew this. Did you know your task, your actual number one duty as a piece of entertainment is to leave an impact on the person who consumed you, who enjoyed you, so that way you change them and they feel more feelings. It's not just to take up a time slot like your shift worker at a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to leave a mark on my soul. And this game did a good job of it.
I'm impressed. These are like, this should be filler villains. We have four dudes who show up from some random church that's not in any other part of Grand Blue. But they're all really cool. Like every one of those boss fights, like against the girl who could show 100 swords and
Oh yes. God.
Magliel the Sword Veil fucking owns.
Yeah. Subtitle the evil potato from chat. subtitle Shantotto from me.
God, she's so good. She rolls up with her fucking I don't know what they're called in Grand Blue. Her evil Lalafell army.
Right.
Harvin, I believe is what they are called.
I believe that's right.
It's so funny. It's just the boss fight against the children, and you whip their ass. And it's so like, okay, good. I guess the nanny has to come in.
God, that everything about that fight is so good. The fact she's a weapon master and just has the unbelievable full repertoire of all these things hitting you.
Yeah, just a flying gun, a flying mallet.
Right, yeah. Oh, God, it's
so many mechanics going off. You can pick your own priority of whether you're damaging her or hitting her weapons. And I'm doing that fight thinking, like, I need to add this to, like, the coolest things of the year list. And then the rest of the desert section happens.
And the rest of the game happens.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, this was cool. Then I got in the mech. Yeah. I'm like, what in the world? You just genuinely cannot expect any moment in that game, and I think that's really inhibited our discussions of this on Big Think Dimension,
because
you don't want to spoil that for the player.
No, a lot of it is like that surprise of, oh, we're actually doing this.
Yeah.
Right? Like later on when it's Magliel and Galanza, and like, they're both in the room. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing as Grand for that. It was pretty rough.
Oh, I believe it. Shit.
Unfortunately, the Gigaboos Podcast Network is a channel that believes in equal time for both sides. So the rest of this spoiler cast is us talking about the Western equivalent, Suicide Squad. Bob, who did you play as in Suicide Squad?
Harley Quinn?
How was that?
Bad. She has like a hilariously like broken version of the Batman Arkham City mechanics for moving. I don't know how they did that. That game is so old now.
Yeah, this is ruining my buzz. So so I want to talk about Roland for a second.
I'll allow it.
Because his character design just rules, for one. I love how a lot of the swords in this game are like really like accurate swords. Like they're real swords, they're practical swords, they're like scaled up by a factor of 50% because it's a video game, and rather than just make the blades too big, they just made the swords bigger. It's kind of interesting. But the motherfucker has like this big swept hilt rapier that seems to have like a katana tip. It's single edged and he wears it blade up like a katana. I have never seen that done, and it might be like I'm just watching and be like, huh, I'm Mr. Fix-It. I'm like, why are you strapped with what may be the most badass thing I have ever seen?
Well, because he's a god.
Right.
As it turns out.
This was a fantastic introduction to the larger lore.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. I didn't fucking play. I have a Grand Blue count. I sometimes load it and it's like, oh, they're giving away free shit. Well, I don't intend to ever play this game. But I will indeed take this. Thank you.
Yeah, whereas I tried to go through the story mode of Grand Blue Fantasy Versus, and that would have been my introduction, but the load times were so bad. I was like, I'll get the update when they release that, and then people tell me, oh yeah, they stripped out all the equipment and RPG stuff from that mode. I'm like, what's the fucking point then?
What the fuck? Might have finally loaded in less than 20 seconds.
Right?
Yeah, it was a bit alarming when the game started, and, you know, the ship comes out of the clouds like, yes, we're off on a brand new adventure. I'm like, oh, fuck, we're not going back for people like me, huh?
Nope. That's what the Fate episodes are for. Catch
yes,
up.
Yes, sir.
Something about how absurdly nice of a guy Roland is just makes me think of, I think it was the Clerks cartoon, where the Clerks, like, kill this celebrity, basically.
You're thinking the ending of Clone High, where he kills Jason Stamos.
Oh my god!
And then Jason Stamos saves their life, and Principal Scudward's like, but Stamos, I tried to kill you! And he's like, I guess I'm just a really great guy. Yeah, no, he is that tier.
Yeah.
I went the other way with it. Like, he started talking, I'm like, oh, this motherfucker's gonna Shao Tucker me at some point.
Yeah, that's also honestly what I thought. I'd like the first soon as he showed up, I'm like, you're going to be the villain of the game.
Right? Like, your big yellow cape is too bombastic for this.
Big yellow cape steps right out of a church.
You seem too non-threatening.
He has had some Shusuke Amagai energy. You're totally right.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Stop bringing us down, Bob.
First rule of chugging bleach. Do not talk about bleach outside of chugging bleach, because you're probably either talking about Shusuke Amagai or Jin Karya, who aren't real.
What about Third Sea Kapune?
He's not real either.
But his glasses, they're real.
No, they're not even prescription. But on top of that, they're not real.
This game has like four endings.
Yeah, it does. And it makes you fight that final boss too many times. That's like the one.
It does.
That it's like,
it does.
That's
yeah.
the one that overstays. Not the awesome final boss. Mm-hmm. The one right before that.
But it has the three endings. It has the three endings that are in the campaign. And then the fourth ending that's in chapter zero after the campaign.
Yeah, that's true. Which, really, I mean the hands boss.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about.
Yes.
It's weird that we don't fight, like...
Mom?
It's Mom, yeah.
That's it, Lilith. Mom!
Because we fight the other thing she has possessed, like, several times, and it would have been way cooler to just fight her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because every one of those, like, squaring off against these church guys fights was really cool. Like, the guy with the transforming spear. The thing's great.
God, this game's so full of cool shit.
Mm-hmm. It's really back-to-back with that.
Uh-huh. In a way that seems crazy.
Right?
And yet, despite its incredibly protracted development cycle, I doubt it spent even half as much money as Spider-Man 2.
Probably not.
Because Spider-Man 2 is fucking expensive.
And this that budget even includes them building an entire studio.
Oh, God, yeah. Man, I'm really excited for the future. For this development studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited for the future for this game. Incredible. This is the sort of thing that gives me hope.
Yeah, I really wonder if they're going to just keep updating this or if we're going to see full sequels. I'd really
enjoy full sequels.
Right?
It'd be
great.
I'd like sequels too. Like, this stuff's so easy to port forward. You just be like, okay, here, start me with different characters.
Right?
Like, this story is you're starting people with different characters, and that also lets them be in the actual story.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just, like, honestly fulfill the dream of the live service game and just release new campaigns, new characters.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be down for that. There's a really good chance, just because of the way they built the game, they could pull off the Destiny thing successfully. Because part of what inhibited Destiny is having the areas be traversable in all sorts of directions, right? Uh-huh. Whereas this, it feels like maybe they could actually, given the sales they're seeing on this, which are real good, maybe they could make linear story chunks
possible.
Like, because this game structurally it does this really weird thing where when you play through it, you are given areas to go through in a specific order that I believe are called levels.
I've never heard of this
did
before,
you say levels?
Which is a lost technology.
Lapels? What? Yeah, it's amazing how we thought we were too smart to do levels in a video game, and then the industry crashed. I believe the Tower of Babel, is a good parallel. Like, we're above this. We could all just reach God. No, you're not. We're all speaking the same language. Mild depression as we zone out.
God, I keep thinking of how incredible just the town hub is, which is, I guess you could compare it to the Destiny Tower.
And there are multiple.
Yeah, there's two of them, mm-hmm. and they look incredible and are filled with NPCs that basically all look different.
Yeah.
It really blew my mind. I was like, wow, you really did this.
Like, everything in this game is voice acted.
Yeah.
There's so much voice acting. It's unreal.
There's so much voice acting.
Yeah.
The blacksmith has a lot of the same thing to say.
Yeah, he does.
My God, all of the Link attack callouts are so good. And for those of you who didn't play an enormous portion of the game as Rackham, a lot of his come from EO. And there's a fantastic one where you pull off a Link attack and she sarcastically goes, "Rackham, Rackham, he's our man."
Yep. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, they designed so many interactions between all these characters. It's kind of crazy.
It is. Completely unreal. It comes across as a writer got somewhere around 7 years to just keep writing stuff.
It is bizarre to just play a video game that feels this cooked. Like, it's done. You're not playing the game going, oh yeah, this is where all the edges are.
Mm-hmm.
It better considering how long they were at it, but it is, you're right. That certainly doesn't mean anything nowadays, how long something's been in development.
I mean, usually when a game gets made this long, it comes out worse.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just like played Suicide Squad.
Yeah. It's like if you left meat in a crock pot for years. It's like, this is just rotten. It's falling off the bone and rotten.
Let me lie. I'm pretty sure that's a Googa Foods video.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a Googa Foods.
Yeah.
I left a steak totally intentionally in a crock pot for 17 years, and this is what happened.
Dude, where was the crock pot? How did it even keep powered for 17 years?
It's hooked up to a car battery.
It's hooked up to a diesel generator.
It's in the middle of a forest, just making insanely loud sounds, and all the animals are scared of it.
Man, my like only complaints with this are stuff that's like so end game that it's hard to even hold it against it.
Like what?
Like, once you've built up one character,
mm-hmm.
the task of building another one up to that point and continue to play
is
not impossible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a reason people go, well, what's the one person you're going to build all the way up? Because there's a good chance you'll only do it once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. Charlotta was my PS4 character, PS5 rather, and Siegfried was my PC, and I went way further on PC because of my PC friends.
Right, of course.
I really wish Charlotta was my PC character. Because I enjoy Siegfried, but Charlotta can fucking schmoove.
Yeah, no, I had a lot more fun just doing the test mode with her than I did with Siegfried. It was like, whoa, she's crazy.
I don't know whose mine will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking they restarted.
Especially considering they're adding characters.
I know, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I really want to play as that double sword guy. He looked really cool.
I'm waiting for them to add four characters of the same element, because in the mobile game, that changes the thing, the full burst.
Oh.
Is if all your characters are the same element.
Neat. There's already, I think, three dark characters, so I wonder if that's going to be the first one.
Yeah, I think there's three of everybody. There's three of every element.
I think there's only two wins.
Except, there's only Gran and then the little Harvin guy who has the twin rapiers. He's like a musketeer. So I don't know if that'll even do anything, or if they'll be like, yeah, of course. We just didn't let you do it at first, because it would, some of you motherfuckers would have exploited something.
Yeah, I bet that is something that's just like, this is going to take even more dev time. Make sure we don't add that until later.
God, Eugen is really cool, too. Like, he just controls like a third-person shooter character.
Yeah.
You can snipe people in the face.
Yeah, it's real fun.
Mm-hmm.
I leveled him up solely because I hit a part in the story. I was like, yeah, we're going to spawn in guys who spawn bombs. You don't want to be anywhere near that. I was like, and I won't. I had a ton of fun as Catalina as well. Like, her system to like build up an extra bar that made her summon a stand. And then that guy just hung out with you for any of your super attacks. I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm. I got to play her like one time during a Fate episode. Yeah, that was neat.
Also makes me wonder if we're going to see extra costumes for all these characters too, because they Gran and can switch between Gran and Jita, and also switch
Jita,
and switch costumes for most of them too, because they have the original mobile game design and a new outfit for this game. So I wonder if we'll see that on all the other characters eventually. And how much they'll charge, because they did release an emote pack like today, as of recording anyway, where it's like, I think $3 or $5 to get new emotes for everybody. Not that it doesn't already come with a lot. They all have really good animations.
But what if they had more?
Yeah, you can play John Kim Pope.
They should add costumes for the Super Saiyan Blue mode the protagonist has that I don't know why it exists. I've only seen pictures of it.
It's really cool.
I'd like to give a shout out to Rackham's character design for somehow finding a way to stand in half plate in a manner that I can only describe as slutty.
You noticed that too. Okay.
I think it's really impressive that with all these characters, and I shouldn't be that impressed because, like, oh, you do a gacha game, writing is all you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like that and predatory number management.
Also pretty JPEGs.
Yeah, pretty JPEGs. But I'm like, wow, all these characters are like really well realized and their fate thing tells me what they're about really concisely and is also an interesting story on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a lot of other games, why are you so bad at this? It's like, Rackham's is, they're all good. Like, every single one I did is good.
Look, we can't possibly have charming stories about individual characters for you to get endeared to them. We have 7 writers.
How did they pull off shoving character stories into the index card menu?
I know, right?
How did they get away with it?
Man, I need to go back and finish Fairy Story. That was really good from what I played.
I'm willing. People are willing to tolerate lower production values if the thing is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like really high production values are a crutch.
Yeah, it's almost a reason why investors are universally in support of that one thing. Because it's absolutely
because there
a crutch
aren't
to
hacks
help.
That can only see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. It's absolutely true. We could be here forever.
We could.
There are so many cool things in this game. I gotta shout out the sand golem thing, because the fact you attack each leg and then slide down it after attacking it with a turret, like, they got every idea you could want with it.
They even, it blew me away when I got to that fight in those post-game episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And they smartly made it the fun parts.
Yeah.
Like, you do the legs and then you teleport to the his back.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you did exactly because, how you needed to do this.
Because they understood that in the story, you traveling across this vast space is the gameplay in that moment.
Right.
You already did that. You don't need to do it again for this job or whatever, for this later fight. Yeah, I think the only refight I did dislike was Hands, because they make you lose to it too many times.
They do. The only main fight I didn't like is the fire dragon where he's like got a weird tentacle body and he goes around a big area and throws out a wave of lava.
Oh yeah, a lot of people dislike that. And I get it. I don't, but I totally get it.
Yeah,
Hands thing is just so much louder on a oh man, I am so tired of doing this one.
Yeah, I think it was really just because it kept spawning, like, it spawned the wave of, like, where the lava wave would go, and then put a flame wall to prevent you from getting out of it.
Yep.
And was like, this is really maddening. Which I eventually figured out, okay, always be moving. If he's doing that, don't ever try to attack him.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, the game like gives you a block and a dodge. I'm like, okay, this is the dodge button. But most of the things in this game, you can just sprint out of the way of. It's fine.
Yeah, the dodge button is there so you can get the dodge
buff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this game's really good. Did anyone else have any last like anecdotes to pack in here before we start wrapping things up? Okay, it's about time we wrap things up. As I said before, we're going to give our summary reviews here at the end, a few sentences followed by a number score each. And then at the very end, you'll get the total number of points and the average score. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start with Aggro.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink was a Full Tilt miracle spawned out of the cauldron of infinite money that admittedly might run on human suffering and predatory numbers practices. But hey, this is one hell of a silver lining. Character action games aren't really my thing, but this, I mean, it was just smooth as butter from beginning to end. A treat for the eyes as much as the fingers. I'm going to have to straight up give this game at least a 9.
Bob.
Yeah, there's so much just cool stuff and great art in this. I could go on and on about random little nitpicks, but it's not like none of it's going to stop me from wanting to play more of this game and being upset. There just isn't time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Did we really need to get Like a Dragon, this, and Tekken 8 all on top of each other virtually?
Yeah, and then this year won't slow
and
down.
Then Persona was also on top of it. And then Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth.
And then Unicorn Overlord.
And Stellar Blade soon.
And Rises of Ronin.
Rises of Ronin.
It's just too much. And yeah. For a game that wants me to put hundreds of hours in, it's too much.
We're gonna hit June. Visions of Mana is gonna come out, and it's gonna go, "Hey guys, did you hear the news at E3? They announced the industry's dead." And we're like, "Good, we have time to play these games."
Yeah, finally, glasses fall off and shatter.
No,
jokes on them. I own 3 pairs.
But yeah, I'm gonna have to give it a 9. Even though I'm at that point where it's like, okay, you need to play online with people, but you only are playing at 3 a.m, so you can't find anyone.
Sorry, Bob, you got to replay everything on PC so that way you can play with the real freaks like me who are up at 3 a.m.
No.
Chris.
I love so much about this game. It's gorgeous. The set pieces are fun. Now, when you make real games, all the strengths of gacha characters become a lot stronger. Like, it's great to see these well-designed characters with distinct designs and abilities and character arcs that are all really interesting, and they're not neat to look at, and their personality is conveyed through their animations, which seems to almost be a fucking lost art nowadays. I'm in the same spot as Bob, where it's like, I have all these things, but I'm fighting the urge, like, no, I can go do more missions.
What if number go up?
Yeah.
What if number go up?
Number could go so up. We're so up. It's the we're so back chart, but up. It only goes
I
up.
Also have to give this a 9.
Gentlemen, we're all coming in at the same fucking level here. This game is stellar. It has so many delightful things about it. And yeah, as Chris was saying, the strengths that make a good gacha are incredibly magnified by being the core skeleton of a proper, high-end, compelling piece of console software.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have fantastic character designs, so many characters, such good writing, all these different elements. It's so great. I'm so blessed to have one JRPG in a year with a beautiful art style that is also gorgeous fidelity-wise. I am so blessed that this and Visions of Mana happening in the same year. I'm never going to eat this well again unless Bloodstained comes out next year 3 times and looks way better than the first. I'm also giving this a 9. It's a fantastic game, highly recommended, and in many years, this could take Game of the Year.
Right.
Last year was insane. Let's see how this year goes. It's already suffocating.
Uh-huh. Look at you, Unicorn Overlord.
I know. I'm like, oh.
Maybe. This is going to be one of those things where, like, can we vote that every game is good?
Can we vote that they're all good boys and deserve a treat?
5 first places.
Can't we just agree that everybody did really good this year?
Looks over at Western industry.
Can we all agree that all the games from Japan did really good this year?
Well, that's going to give it a total of 36 points, which you may have surmised gives it an average score of 9 out of 10. Obviously, extremely recommendable. Go check it out if you haven't, even though we just spoiled it in the most fanboy raving way possible. I imagine it processed about as much as like a sugar-addled child just exclaiming about how cool a thing they saw was if you have no context for anything we're saying. What a fantastic game. We're so blessed to get this, and it already looks like an absolutely stacked year. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Look forward to our next one where we live tweet all of 7 Rebirth. I am now on the Chocobo again. I am digging for treasures. I have found one. I am happy.
We just found minigame number 75. I don't know how there's so many.
This ride will never end. I've convinced myself both me and the game are immortal. We will never die.